podcast time, everybody.
So we're jumping into our encore episode here with Lauren DeFell. We just got done doing the recording session for the Sleep Like a Boss episode for the Mike Tech Studios podcast. But Lauren, I was saying this in the preamble, there's a lot of really good and interesting points that we were kind of coming up with. I've never done this before. And again, when I had approached you for this episode idea originally, it was difficult trying to find a way that listeners that were going to be listening to this, it would make sense to them. Because, you know, you see SEO, marketing, this, that, and it's like, sleep coach, I'm not sure. But
you might be better at your job if you sleep. It's a novel concept.
I know, right? But and it just, I felt really bad because we jumped right into the episode, but I never really did ask you, like, during the episode, jumping back to it, just your experience as a sleep coach. I know we got into this with the preamble, but why did you focus on consulting for healthy sleep versus anything else that you could have done that maybe could have made you more money, or what happened there?
Yeah, well, I see that the money-making ability of anything, it's just a reflection of the value you can put out there. And since I've started doing this, and now I get to do it as an entrepreneur, there are lots of creative things I can do with it. So I started it because, if you say that I had two lives already, so one was in the business of managing events and managing hotels, and I had a BlackBerry, had a normal cell phone, I had my personal computer, I also had a computer and a laptop for work. So I'm like surrounded with all these little devices all the time going off. And I was stressed. And yeah, we had a lot of work to do. And sometimes it felt like we didn't have the help that we needed. But we also worked in a basement office. I'm Canadian, so I would go to work pretty much in the dark. And if it was winter time or early spring or late fall, I'd also come home in the dark. And I didn't have windows, so I didn't get any sunlight for a long time. And if the weekend didn't have especially nice weather, maybe I'd go almost 2 weeks without seeing the sun.
Wow.
And so this lifestyle also included lots of partying and lots of alcohol, plus I was in my 20s. I will say I did love the alcohol in my 20s, and that was part of, I was like a rock star.
And now you're paying for it.
Totally. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now I'm born again, health, complete nerd. Yeah, anyway, that life was super fun. And as much as I resent a little bit the adults in my life when I was younger saying, oh, you're young, you can take it, have drinks, you're resilient, young, you can take it. And I was like, yeah, who cares? I'll go party and nothing will happen to me because I'm young. And I'll tell you, something happened. I got pretty mentally ill in my mid-20s.
Oh boy.
And I developed insomnia. And those two things feed into each other. When you don't sleep, you essentially develop mental illness because you develop less emotional control, you develop more negative thoughts, you develop lower self-esteem, all of these things. And it's the same as like a hangover, where if you get drunk then the next day, or maybe even for a few days, you feel like, oh, I said that stupid thing, oh, I didn't look good. You have all these negative thoughts about yourself when you're hungover. But you have this similar process that happens when you're sleep deprived. So I see that some people get told they have a mental illness when, I'm not saying that they don't, but that it's maybe largely affected by their sleep and having someone to support them in their sleep, or having more education about sleep throughout our lives could really help in those situations in life. So then I didn't know what to do with myself. I have this job that was a good job for someone in their 20s. I felt successful in that way. But honestly, I was miserable. I would cry before I went to work. I would have a night of insomnia all the time where I wouldn't sleep all night. And then I would get on the bus to go to work and I'd fall asleep on the bus. And I'd be like, come on.
Yep.
Yeah. So I got to the point where my emotional control was so bad and my memory was so bad that I started listening to my soul, maybe for the first time ever. And it was just saying, quit your job, it was springtime at that moment. Quit your job, spend the whole summer outside without shoes, no suit jackets, no high heels, no cell phones, no computers, just outside, no shoes. I'm like, this sounds ridiculous, but okay. I didn't know what else to do. You know, I'd been to my doctor, she'd give me sleeping pills. I don't recall if I'd been to a naturopath yet at that time in my journey, but eventually, yes. And I'd been seeing a Chinese medicine practitioner. Anyway, all I knew was outside, no shoes. So I quit my job. I went traveling for 4 months. And then I come back to reality and I don't know what to do with myself. I can't go back to my old job. I didn't even want to go in the building. Like, I went in one day to say hi to my friends and I had almost a panic attack. And I had to talk myself through it. I'm like, dude, you're just saying hi to your friends, relax. But going in the building, my body freaked out.
Do not want to be here.
Do not go in here. Yeah. So then I did a 180 with my life. I went back to school for nutrition and I did a yoga teacher training. And on my journey, I had this experience with this healer who did physical and energetic healing. At the time, I didn't even fully believe in that. And even now, some of it, I'm like, I don't know. But the experience I had with him was insane. It changed my life. It made me realize that, okay, alcohol's gotta go. Because I spent a period of time healing under his supervision. And then after that, I sort of a little bit went back to my old life and I felt my vitality just drop, like everything I had gained while I was away, while I was in the sun, while I was not drinking. And then I went to Spain to see family and then I came home. And anyway, on the way, there were some late nights and some drinks. I'm like, ooh, I could really see how that made me feel. Then I started working as a nutritionist after I graduated from that program. And luckily I got a job at the coolest place. If you want to check it out, it is called NutriChem. It's a pharmacy that's also a naturopathic clinic with nutritionists, with a vitamin IV lab, where they make compound customized supplements. What they do is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so I learned a lot working there, a lot. I came through my insomnia while I was working there. And I'll say that the thing that got me through my insomnia was really a combination of everything. It was a combination of finally deciding to really, really, really learn to listen to my body and to drop some habits that I knew were bad for me. And also learning a lot about sleep and sleep science. I'll say I learned a little bit from my doctor, my naturopathic doctor, about sleep. I also did a cognitive behavioral therapy program for people with insomnia. And I did a lot of research. Like whenever at work we weren't busy with clients, we would just research something. So I did a lot of research on sleep. And then and this was just for myself, you know, I wasn't planning on doing anything with it in my career. But people would come into our supplement store every day. I worked part-time as one of the managers of the supplement store, and I also worked in the clinic with clients. So I would have people honestly every day come into the store saying, I need to sleep tonight. What can I take? What can you tell me to take that will give me the sleep that I need tonight? Because I am dying not sleeping. And I just knew the answer is not that simple. You could take this whole bottle. I don't recommend you do that. Don't do that. But if you did, you might still not sleep. I was taking sleeping medication, prescription sleeping meds, and I still wasn't sleeping because the reason that you're not sleeping isn't because you're lacking sleep medication.
It's internal. And that's the problem that I've also experienced. For me personally, drinking, I've never fancied the flavor of alcohol. I remember my...
I was very, very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, because I like the taste of, like, for example, I would go to, before I knew specifically about the whole gluten intolerance and celiac, I would go into like an Applebee's and I would do boneless buffalo wings, honey barbecue sauce, and I would do ranch, which I'm not a huge fan of ranch, blue cheese, and a virgin strawberry daiquiri in an ice water. And whenever somebody would give me a strawberry daiquiri after the fact, and it did have alcohol, I'm like, ew, there's something wrong with it. Like, yeah, it's alcohol. I'm like, oh no, I don't want that. They're like, so you basically just want like a smoothie. And I'm like, well, yeah, you know,
yeah.
And that's just me. If I'm going to drink, I want to drink something that I actually enjoy, a sweet Moscato with a spicy pasta dish, or maybe some sort of taco or something like that. Very well accompanied. It's not something that I do all the time, but if I'm going to be cheap about it, I will do a hard cider. But I do know that there were times where we were talking about it in the podcast session where I physically got up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I was out the door by 2. I did not have a vehicle at the time. I biked an hour uphill, loaded trucks from 3:15 until 7:30.
Both ways in the snow.
Yeah, yes. No, it was literally that. Like, literally that story. So I had, at that time, I lightly covered this in another podcast episode, but in short, I had gotten... There's no real nice way of doing this story, but in short, I was dating somebody. We moved to an apartment. They were having cold feet. They were also finding entertainment with other men, let's just say. So it was easier for them to just kind of Jane Doe letter me about a month and a half into moving. And I had no choice. I had to pay for where I was, and I had no vehicle, and I think I was working part-time at one retail store originally. So that's the thing about retail. They'll say, hey, give us open availability and we'll give you all these hours. You go, here you go. And they go, 16 hours, 12 hours, 6 hours. It's like, 6 hours? How do you get 6 hours? That's not even a lunch. And so I had to figure out how to pay for all this stuff very, very quickly. And I basically put applications in everywhere. Wow. But I had one of five jobs. I worked a clothing store. I loaded trucks. I did another shipping store. I was at a self-storage facility. I worked fast food. Didn't flip burgers. I actually told them I only want to work the register. I worked at register so fast that they told me to slow down because they could not complete the orders that quickly in the back, which is very much a pat on the back for me. But
you're too fast for fast food, Mike.
Yes. You know, but when I would load trucks, so we were talking earlier on about Thursday being my sleep day. So I would bike no less than two and a half hours a day. I physically was exhausted enough where I could not, like, there's a difference between your body being exhausted and you being, oh, I had a really good, I'm looking forward to really good sleep. And the thing was, so I would load trucks. I would be wet for the majority of the day. I know that sounds gross or some sort of sexual connotation, but there isn't. It's just sweaty. Like, you showered, you're not dry enough. You bike it up an hour, you're in sweat, you're loading trucks, you're still sweaty, you bike out. I slept on a bench for like a half an hour or 45 minutes before one of my shifts started. I've had one or two people come up to try to give me money. I'm like, I'm not homeless. I'm just tired and I'm waiting for my next shift. But at that time, there were times in my life that I have been homeless. So that obviously has affected sleep as well. But you would work fast food. I would fall asleep standing up. So I was working in fast food. I'm standing at the register and I'm like leaning against the counter, trying to pretend that I'm like just looking, or I would go in the bathroom to just close my eyes. And it wasn't because I was lazy. I was just physically exhausted. And
you were still too fast for fast food.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So
by sleeping, standing up.
There you go. Well, because I take my jobs very seriously. So anybody that does know me, I'm very passionate about what it is that I do. That could be good and that could be bad. So even though you're too tired, there are certain, to operate one of those things, it's not difficult. It's already locked in the back. There's a certain level of customer service that you have to kind of employ to do this. But I would get done 6 o'clock at night. I would bike back. It'd be another hour. I lived in a historic, AKA slumlord owned property, third floor. walk up, no elevator, anything like that. And the landing was so tight because it's like an attic nook apartment between the landing and the flight of stairs that I didn't want the guy, because he was very questionable. He would just, people would know when you're home, they see your bike. So I'd actually have to pick the bike up, carry it up the final run of the stairs in the door and leave it in the hallway so that people would not, because I hate that. I hate people walk by, oh yeah, Michael's there. Okay, can you come help me for that? And meanwhile, or I'm like, I'm dying inside.
Yeah, or you could also go to work and find your bike's gone.
That could be, because he the owner of that building would also employ homeless people to come in and paint or do maintenance, and he would just fix them a sandwich. And so they would just hang around the property, and it was not a... This was not a good place to live. But in short, yeah, I would come back. I would eat first. I would have to eat and shower very quickly, because the moment that food hit my system, my body would just like drop.
Shut down.
Yeah. And as I went to shower, like I physically sometimes couldn't even finish a shower. I would dry off and I'm like, I'm dragging myself out of the bathroom, like literally marine crawling. And it's very difficult to do on wooden floors, and you don't have a lot of clothes, especially with a wet towel. So this is like, I don't want anybody to visualize that. Yeah, that is not, that is literally, I'm a dude, stuff is sticking to the wood that should not be sticking. And I would get to the bed, and it was a queen size bed, and I physically did not have it in me. I remember it still to this day. I couldn't pull my, I was done. I was gone. I fell asleep on the floor, and there's no AC, so there'd be a fan. I had an open window, which I did not control the heat or the AC, or excuse me, I did not control the heat in that apartment. So it was always too hot because it's in the top, and I had the window open literally almost all year round, unless it was like crazy raining or whatever it was. So wintertime, you'd have bats that would literally come in and hang out in the bedroom. And I'm like, all right, not cool. Get out, you know, because they're loud and they like to keep moving around. And
yeah, they do. Where I was living at the Eco Lodge, I just left there about a month ago. And yeah, I would have bats in my room sometimes, and sometimes they would wake me up because they're flying in a circle in your room, and you just feel like too much wind just came past you. Yes. Like, what was that?
Too much movement. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Calm down. Go to sleep. I mean, I know you're supposed to be awake now, but I'm not nocturnal. And it's one of those things where I didn't realize it was a bat at first, because you're like, that's a weird looking butterfly. Why is it flying like that? And you're like, no, that's big and it has like hooks on the end. No, that's a bat. But in short, there was a difference between working your body beyond exhaustion so that you would just black out. And actually, there's the joke where how men and women...
The sleep deprivation that went along with that. Yes.
Well, by Thursday, I physically had to just black out. And then on the weekend, I would sleep for like 16 hours. I would feel amazing on Sunday. I knew I didn't have to work. I did that for 6 months. So imagine working 6 out of the 7 days a week, every single day for 6 months, and no car. So it was just like, I abuse my body. So
your poor body.
Yeah. It has affected my sleep immensely, to the effect of, I would almost put it as like a PTSD issue, because there is that paranoia of, oh my God, I overslept, like I told you about, because you were talking about being in a basement. When you wake up and you have a overnight job and it's light out, there is no greater fear of like, I cannot process what's going on. What happened? Why is it light out? You're basically working when it's dark out and you're done. It should be light out. So
what was your overnight job? Which job was your overnight?
I loaded trucks as a package handler. So
I had an overnight job once as well. I worked as a hotel manager and night auditor.
Okay.
That was a few years ago. And the first few months, I'm like, I can do this. I know it's not quote unquote good for me. When you're in your 20s, you're like, it's fine.
Go for it.
and then the weird stuff started happening. So then I noticed I would get more like swelling in my feet.
Yes.
At the end of my shifts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like more water retention in my legs. and I started randomly throwing up. Just no rhyme or reason, completely. Okay. And I had to work a night shift that night. And after eating like a RIT dinner with a lot of different ingredients and then doing an overnight, my body would just be so confused as to like, are we digesting now? Should we be sleeping or digesting or what's happening? Because I didn't know back then that your digestion is part of your circadian rhythm. And there's so many parts of your circadian rhythm that you don't realize are part of it. And so then I just started that night. I threw up my dinner maybe 4 hours later.
Oh man.
And then it just started happening where I was throwing up randomly all the time. And then I said to my boss, I don't think I can do this anymore because also I have a fear of throwing up.
I mean, I don't know anybody goes, I love a good puke, but it is just,
I feel like my friends back in the day, people don't puke so much in my life now because I don't have kids, but when early 20s and teenager, that's a topic of conversation. Like if your friends are partiers, then okay, I drank too much. I threw up and then I felt better. I wished that I could do that sometimes, that I could throw up and feel better, but I couldn't. So if I drank too much, I had to deal with that. And then obviously that's just to teach me not to drink so much. Thank God I learned that lesson. But when that started happening, I'm like, okay, these overnights, there's something really wrong here. Otherwise, I never throw up. So I gave my notice and then I still worked in hospitality, but I switched my focus more to events. And then, I went off in a different direction, managing events at a different hotel. So then that was in the basement. So I went from working overnight in the dark to working in a basement, which is also in the dark. What was I thinking?
And then I developed a
fear of basements. Yeah, because then when I would, if I was moving, I'd go apartment hunting and they're like, basement apartment. I'm like, no. I want top floor.
Windows. Windows. All glass. I want no curtains, no concrete. It's all glass or go home. I don't want it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that was it.
I think Lauren's a vampire, everybody.
I was, but it's not a good life, so I'm out of it now. I was in a long-term relationship when I was going through insomnia, and it was sometimes very difficult. Our house was pretty nice, but there was no space between us that was large enough where he could do things that made any amount of noise while I was trying to sleep.
Oh boy.
So that puts a lot of didn't create a super healthy environment for certain aspects of our relationship.
So are you one of those people that needs to have everything blocked out and like super quiet in order for you to sleep?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say now I am a little less sensitive to noise just because my sleep is less sensitive and I have less anxiety about it.
Okay.
Than before. When you're really anxious about your sleep, and you're not sleeping very, reliably, and then there's noises, the thought that I would have and that I see my clients have as well is this noise going to keep me awake? And that thought in itself will keep you awake, that thought, because you've created a little bit of cortisol with that thought. Anyway, that's another whole discussion with our thoughts and our sleep.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh no, because that has been a problem with me. My body was like sonar. My ears, I will listen. If you put on a TV show that I have not seen, damn you, because I'm going to watch it now. Or if it's a movie that I have not seen, damn you twice. Because
that's a part of personality that goes with insomnia is the needing to know. So I would have the same thing. My friends would put on a movie and we'd be hanging out. And they would fall asleep during the movie. I can't fall asleep during the movie. I need to see what happens.
Well, it depends on it depends on the movie, but I mean, like, for me, when I sleep, I've realized what has helped is, and it sounds silly, but ASMR videos, just that it isn't, I'm not really focused too much on what the person is saying, as long as it's not like singing bowls and stuff like that, because that will literally wake me out of my sleep in a rage. Like, I don't want to hear bong like when I'm sleeping. No, shh, quiet. But I know, like, I have literally, I'm dating and people are like, okay, it's time to go to bed, and they turn the TV off and they put the AC, you know, low, whatever it is, and then all you hear is like the ticking clock in the other room or the toilet refilling, and you're like, oh dear Lord, this is gonna be the whole night.
I gotta say, I hate ticking clocks. I've never liked them my whole life. I'm like, why does anyone want to listen to that?
But it's too quiet. It's too quiet. Like, you need ambience, otherwise I'm gonna listen. There was, my ex had, she lived in a neighborhood where it was a little more rural, and there was a rooster that was time zone compromised, let's just call him. It's supposed to be sun up and the cockle-doodle-doo. He would be 11 o'clock at night, 2:30 in the morning. Hey, I'm up, you're up. And I'm like, no, dude, go to sleep. Like, shh, quiet. And it would just be like, once, and you know that, like a dog barking or something. All right, I am now up. There is no, oh, let me lull back to sleep. Okay, go to sleep.
I'll tell you, I'm living in Costa Rica. It's a skill sleeping through dogs barking, coyotes howling, roosters, insane rain. And every single building here has a metal roof with no insulation between the roof and the ceiling. That is living in Costa Rica. It is the loudest. I mean, it's not loud because of traffic or anything like that.
Right.
It's loud because of nature. The danger here is so loud. I've had to get used to it. Even the bugs and the birds here make incredible noises that you're like, what was that? Like, R2-D2 is in that tree
for real
right now. The dogs at night, because the coyotes will start howling, and then the domestic dogs will start barking and howling at the coyotes. And man, it's honestly been kind of an interesting test for me as a sleep coach, because I'm like, okay,
let's see how much of an expert I really am here. Let's put this to the test.
Let's work through this. And it is, like I said, about the self-talk, because if you hear a dog and your reaction to that is F-bomb, now you've created a little bit of cortisol. So I started doing this thing where the dog or the rooster would start going, and I would say, the dog's name's Copito. He'd be barking, and if I woke up, I'd say, I love you, Copito. And then that would make me go back to sleep. Whereas if I was like, F off, Copito. Now I'm awake, right? Because I'm mad. But if you don't get mad about it, then you can fall back asleep. And the thing is, if it woke you up, you were in between sleep cycles, probably, or you're in your lighter sleep in the morning. You're probably in REM. Whereas for something to wake you up out of deep sleep would have to be really loud. That's why fire alarms are so loud, because if you're in deep sleep, it's quite difficult to wake you up. But there's a lot of your sleeping time which is not deep sleep. So
interesting.
That's why.
There's times where I mean, I'm notorious for flying out of bed, out of a stomach, whatever it is. I went from literally 100% off to 100% on. Where I was staying, there was an attempted burglary with a neighbor, and it's open properties as far as, for no fenced gates or properties, anything like that. And they had a landscape truck and trailer in front of the house, and they basically use it as like a low key parking spot, so they don't have to go all the way out to, you know, other side of town or whatever in the morning to go get the other things. And somebody had a Sawzall, which I did not hear. Somebody popped the wires underneath the vehicle for the e-brake. This is a big, expensive dually pickup truck that the neighbor had, and popped the lock for the truck, and then popped it into neutral and started pushing the truck away. And
oh my gosh.
The only reason that they got caught was because as it was moving, the alarm went off. They did not steer the truck properly. So it just kind of did like a, once they were heard, the neighbor's kid turned the light on or whatever it was. And it kind of like did like a slow roll into the tree. And people bolted. I think that because the neighbor started like knocking on everybody's doors and asking if they had footage and stuff like that. And there's cops, you know, out soon after. And there, I mean, there's at least 25 grand worth of equipment in the trailer by itself. We're not talking about the damage that was done to the truck. You know, there's insurance and stuff like that. I heard none of this, Lauren. And I was sleeping on a couch, literally on the property right in front of it. I heard nothing. And I went, okay, this for me is a bit of a problem because normally I would hear these things. And I,
well,
and
that's great. You were in a stage of deep sleep.
No, but it's a paranoia because then that keeps you. So here is the balance that I try to strike all the time. I need ambience so that I'm not listening to every sound. But I also cannot have things being played enough where if something of that nature occurs, this could be a child of yours that's screaming that something happened and you need to go attend to them. This could be somebody breaking into your own vehicle. This could be somebody trying to wake you up. Hey, there's a fire, a need, where that is the whole point, is to be alert and to be ready. And I understand as you get older, I mean, you're just not as sharp as you used to be, and you do crave and require higher volumes and intake of sleep than you would as a teen. I could power nap. Like when I was growing up, my father, we called him 6 minutes because that's how long you could talk to him while he was sitting on the couch. And within that time, his eyes would close. And within that 6 minute time frame, he was snoring. And you had to, you know, people joke about it now where, you know, oh yeah, you know, now people's parents are like their friends. No, there are jokes that I've seen, like Tom Papa, where he goes, it's your father sleeping. Get out of there before he kills you. That was my father. He slept on, if he fell asleep on the floor, you didn't go in that room anymore. You didn't go on that area of the house anymore. You went outside and played until he decided to get up and go. I inherited that, where, like we were talking about before, standing upright, I could literally fall asleep standing up. I could fall. I refused to change the seats in the Jeep because I could literally pop the seat back a little bit and I could be asleep. They're one of the most comfortable seats I've ever sat in any vehicle that I've owned or driven or whatever it is, and I could be asleep very quickly.
Yeah.
But
did your dad also work a lot so that then when he would sit still, he would crash hard?
To be honest, I don't really know exactly a lot of what my father did. So work-wise, he would work weird hours, but then again, maybe he wasn't. You wouldn't know. I didn't really know where he worked or what he did for most of the time. There are certain things that I'm not... There's a difference that you have to do sometimes in life, not to get too personal, but sometimes when somebody is making choices, decisions, or communicating with you, you have to actually separate that person as an individual with what their title is. So for example, as a sleep coach, I would feel that you would have my best interest in mind if I was your client, regardless as to what our personal relationship would be beyond the session or whatever it is, because above all, that's your want, that's your desire. But you may make some personal choices and I go, what is Lauren smoking here? This is not what I would be doing, you know? And you know,
why
but
why is Lauren living in Costa Rica? That country is so expensive.
Yes, you know, but the 6 minute thing, I could still fall asleep probably better than my father now. I would, when I was working normal jobs, like I said, loading trucks was one of them, but I worked overnight in a call center another time, full time, and that's way easier, but also not any better for your body health-wise. And I'd always take advantage of my 15 minutes to eat, and I would use my 30, 45 or hour break that's supposed to be for your lunch to either sleep in those situations or power nap. So literally I would have power napping down to a science. Like literally there's a joke, there's a list. what a woman does before she goes to sleep. She empties the garbage, cleans the dishes, puts the things away for the next day, sets the coffee, checks all the lights, checks all the locks, does all this, does the laundry. What does a man do before he goes to sleep? He goes to sleep. He gets up and he goes to sleep. And I'm not going to lie, I am one of those people, but I also make sure that everything is locked and closed and ready to go so that when it is time, you ain't going to tell me twice, boom, and hopefully I am sleeping within 50 minutes.
That's actually one thing I talk about with some of my clients. They leave a lot of the things that they need to do to later in the evening, and then it makes going to sleep feel like a chore because, oh, now I got to do all these things before I go to sleep. Whereas if all those things are already done, going to sleep is easy. Even down to, for some people, and this just depends on the sensitivity of the person, but some people, even the washing face and brushing teeth can really wake you up.
Yes.
And so if you're going to sleep because you're feeling sleepy and maybe you're actually already starting to experience a little bit of sleep, you don't want to wash your face right now and put the mintiest. Why do they do that? They make the toothpaste so minty. Your eyes cry while you're brushing. Like my eyes, I can't use that super minty toothpaste. Like I think at some point when I was a teenager, Crest came out with like orange toothpaste, which was really gross, and cinnamon. And I'm like, yes, anything but mint. I've never really liked mint my whole life, unless it's like mint from the garden and it tastes really herbaceous and you put it in a salad or something. I don't want mint that like, plus, okay, I grew up in Canada. Do you think in the winter I want to brush my teeth with super minty paste and then go outside, and when I breathe in through my mouth, it feels colder than it already is, and it's minus 30. Why do you want that? Nobody wants that.
That's so cruel. That's so true.
And those minty, minty gums. I'm like, it makes no sense. So I've been on the anything but mint toothpaste train for a really long time. But it's funny how that recommendation sometimes feeds into my sleep coaching, because people will say, ah, I was falling asleep on the couch, but then I can't fall asleep in my bed. And I said, well, okay, what happened between the couch and your bed? They're like, oh, well, I brushed my teeth, I washed my face. I'm like, well, did that wake you up? They're like, yeah, that really woke me up. I'm like, okay, so now we're going to do that earlier in the night.
So people will say, and I tend to do things later on at night, regardless of how much sleep I had or not, I cannot do the get up first thing in the morning, 5 a.m. and go work out. I just physically cannot do that. I will work out. I will do it later on at night, 9, 10 o'clock at night. I will wrap up by midnight. I will shower and be in bed by like 1. And between 1:30-ish or whatever it is, because your body is like psyched up. Yeah, you just got done working out and all that. But
yeah, your temperature is high and your heart rate's going to be higher. Yeah.
Once that all drops, I sleep like a rock, and I can get up right at 6, 5:30, whatever it is, like literally a couple of, if I do this regimen and I am consistent about it, and I don't hurt myself during a workout and whatever it is, methodically with or without an alarm, I wake up 5, possibly 10 minutes before my alarm in the morning because I have gone back to what it is. Now, the difficulty is if I run a 14-hour day, a 16-hour day, I did not eat appropriately, I'm stuck in longer than usual traffic, I'm not getting back, and I just want to drop at 8 o'clock at night, I have to close my eyes for at least an hour in order for me to make it to that 10 o'clock time frame, because if not, I will black out, sleep, go to sleep, whatever it is, 8, 8:30 at night, like a child. But it is because I need to get up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning if it is a full roster like that. But I do, I listened to one of your lives with one of the, I don't know if it was a workout coach or whatnot. I was mopping, so I was kind of paying attention, but I wasn't. But she was talking about getting up really early and working out, and she couldn't do it at night because she'd be too awake. If I came back and I did not shower, which is gross, and then you have gross skin and breaking out on your face, I could go to sleep just like that no questions asked. Like, I'm literally tired, ready, could just go to sleep like that. I would be sore in the morning, and depending on where I fell asleep, wouldn't be good for my back or recuperating muscles.
Oh, yeah. Not to call you out at all, but I'm going to call you out a little bit.
Go ahead.
In that when we can, especially as adults, when we can fall asleep on the drop of a dime, it's probably because we are exhausted, chronically exhausted, and maybe chronically sleep deprived to some degree. It's not saying that you don't feel energetic during the day, but that there is a strong signal coming from your brain and body to sleep because you really need it. And you don't only need sleep for your energy, you also need sleep for long-term health. And I actually wanted to touch on this a little bit in the podcast, but it just didn't get there and I sort of forgot about it. But that we, in our careers, the point of working, and the point is to make money, to save money, so that when we're older, we don't have to work, because we know that when we're older, working will be more difficult. Mm-hmm. So it's like the point of working when we're younger and healthier is to give ourselves what we need for when we're older. But for me, there's also a savings of vitality, because if you really want to enjoy your retirement, you want to get there with the best health possible. Or that's my thought about myself, is that I'm going to work, I'm going to save money, and I'm also going to save my vitality and my health so that hopefully I will get the opportunity to enjoy my retirement. And when I look at health from that perspective, that's where sleep is really important when we're looking at long-term health. Yeah, you could say it also affects you in the short term. Like if you have one night of a very little sleep, you definitely feel differently the next day. You're not as sharp, your memory's not as good, but you can recover from that. You get your better sleep over the next few days and then you feel great. But over the long term of not getting as much light sleep, because that's what happens when we get less sleep, we get the portion of our sleep that includes mostly deep sleep and smaller amounts of light sleep. And we have this thought that deep sleep is more restorative and more important than light sleep, but it's not. So when we look at avoiding the major health problems that we all fear in our lives, or the major health problems that people deal with, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and heart health problems, cardiovascular health problems, those are all, your chance of getting any of those are increased dramatically by not sleeping well over time. So that's where I almost don't like talking about that stuff because I don't like scaring people, but I do want to emphasize the importance of prioritizing sleep, because yeah, you might feel okay with 5-6 hours of sleep, multiple nights. I feel like most people do not operate optimally on that much sleep. And for the average adult, they won't even feel like their best selves with that amount of sleep. There is maybe 1% of the population that will feel quite good with that amount of sleep over a period of time. And maybe that 1% of the population also doesn't suffer as much in their health with that amount of sleep. But for most adults, you need between 7 and 8.5 hours of sleep to really get the rejuvenation each night that sets you up for that.
Right.
All we can do is our best, you know? Who knows what happens in the future, but
I can definitely attest to saying that the lack of sleep, I know growing up, I had a lot of teachers and people around me like, hey man, you're gonna burn yourself out, because I was working. We touched on having 5 or 6 jobs. Yeah, it did affect my ability to sleep properly. I have noticed my body's cravings where I have to sleep more. If I train my body, like we were talking about earlier, a couple of micro naps, and you can do that, I can make it until maybe Wednesday or Thursday, but I really need to do a real legit reboot and sleep for like a 4-hour clip and then get up and power through and do the rest of whatever it is. And I find myself doing that. Like I will sleep for 2 hours, I'll get up, I'll work for another 4 hours, I'll go back to sleep for another 3 or 4 hours, I'll get up, I'll power through the day, I'll do a couple of other micro naps if I'm able to, depending on the contract or job that I'm in. If I'm freelancing or I'm working on something for myself or a smaller project, then that's different. You can eat and sleep as you need to. But I've also realized I feel a lot better doing that. I have done those types.
Yeah, and the light and the noise and everything from the daytime affects your hormones. So our whole circadian rhythm is tied to the sun wherever we live. We can do some biohacks or whatever. You can set yourself up for sleeping at different times, but long term, it's not really as deep or as restorative or as good quality of sleep as if you really sleep with the sun.
Yeah, not at all.
With the sun being down.
It's a rhythm. You have to be sort of in balance with all aspects, all temples of your body, emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally. And if one of them are off, if I'm hungry and we're trying to have a conversation, it's probably not going to go too well because something is very clearly out of balance for my being. Apparently the cost of adrenaline is your memories, but yeah, it's super important. And that's why I thought this would be a good conversation to have with you as far as for healthy sleeping for Looney Tunes like myself that push themselves maybe a little bit too hard. And for other people that may want to just see a little bit more as to what, you know, you're about and utilize your services, check you out and hopefully have a little insight as to who you are personally, but also what you offer as a sleep coach. I'm pretty sure everybody could use a little bit extra sleep and just...
Yeah, a little bit less anxiety, a little bit more trust in the future.
And so that's why I figured that this would make sense. We went a little bit longer on the Encore episode than I expected, but I appreciate your time here. Again, Coaching for Insomniacs on Instagram. Website is coachingforinsomniacs.com. All over the place, Facebook, hopefully some more YouTube content. I'm excited to see some more of her stuff. I'm probably going to social media stalk her a little bit more as well. And I hope you do too. So.
You're welcome to.
Thanks again, Lauren.
Thank you so much, Michael.